Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.HearGodsWord@Bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem. Or through our Women of the Vine Faith, other
ministries, all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Lord.
We want to make him known. Last year, we wanted to know him. This year, we want to make him known. That's what Shared Love Sunday is all about. It's about us trying to make him known. Praying for our 10 most wanted, inviting them out, having a conversation with them about Jesus. Now, we can't force anyone to know him. All we can do is be a witness. And if you witness right, oh, someone will want to know him. Amen. Henceforth, this month, that's what we've been talking about all of this month, to make him known. We had the preacher on New Year's Eve night help to lead us in the text that we are standing on all year long. Verse 20 says, go, stand, and speak. Go, stand, and speak. And all this year we want to go, stand, sit, lean, whatever, and speak about him. Amen. And praise the Lord for our witness. This morning we're going to share a message entitled, The Well Water Revival. Well Water Revival. And I need you to do me a favor. Because of time, I couldn't preach the whole text. I want you to do your homework assignment and read the whole book of John chapter 4. But this morning, we're going to be focusing on 39 through 42. John chapter 4, verses 39 through 42. Would you stand in reverence to the Word of God? Stand symbolically saying that I will stand on the Word of God. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, or neighbor, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. Amen. It's one slide. One slide. Let's read this out loud together. At one time, on three. One, two, three. That's a woman's testimony. Everything I ever did. So I ever came from the earth and the same with them. They say 2 days. Now all of these works, many of them became believers. They said to the woman, you will no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. Oh, this is the Savior. Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. And again, this morning, we're talking about the Well Water Revival. The Well Water Revival began with a conversation. That conversation led to a convert, and that convert led to a company of people coming to know him. again, we're talking this morning about the well water revival. And we want Christians to know this morning that Christians should have a conversation about Jesus Christ. Christians should have a conversation about Jesus Christ. Many of you may be familiar with this story. It's a story known as the Samaritan woman by the well that Jesus ran into. I say that Jesus ran into, and I think the Sunday school teacher touched on it a little bit this morning. It was a place called Samaria. And Samaria to the Jewish people was not a place that they liked to go. Literally, the Orthodox Jewish person hated the Samaritan people so much that instead of going through Samaria, they would literally go around Samaria. Somebody told me that the fastest way to a place is a straight line. But their hatred was so hatred because the Samaritans were a mixed race people. And the Jewish folk just literally hated them. They were prejudiced. And then come along this man by the name of Jesus, a man that some called a rabbi. And instead of going around like most Orthodox Jews would do, Jesus told his disciples, let us go through Samaria. We must need to go through Samaria. Oh, this is not a part of my sermon, but maybe some of you need to realize that you've got to overcome your prejudices in life and take that straight line through Samaria, and maybe somebody will get saved if you open your mouth. Some of you only want to tell the good news to those who look like you, those who talk like you, those who walk like you. But God has called us as a people to baptize all nations. All nations. And how will all nations know unless you open your mouth? Hello, somebody. Modern day term is that cross-cultural witnessing. Oh, but there's some other folk. Maybe it's not that you have to witness to somebody. Maybe it's that you have to go through something that you didn't want to go through. And God is saying that you have to go through this. He may be saying to somebody that is listening at the sound of my voice, you want it to work out, but you may have to go through a divorce. You may have to go through cancer. You may have to go through the storms in life because you can't make nobody do anything. You can't make a mate that abandoned you to come back home and live with you and to love you. I know of a person that, they still say that they're married, but their mate hasn't been there in a whole year's time. Hello, somebody. That's called abandonment. And there's some things in this life, this preacher had to go through. I never wanted to go through. But God sent me through it. And he got me through it. And as a result, I can go back and reach somebody else who has gone through it. Some stuff that I didn't like. Some stuff I didn't want. Some sicknesses that I didn't love. You hear me complain all the time when I went to the doctors. The doctors... the diagnosis for me, Reverend, was that I was obese. Hello, somebody. and that I had to lose some weight that was causing me high blood pressure. So now, almost every day, I have to go through the gym. Hello, somebody. And lose some of the horrors and pains that I hate. But the more I go through it, the better that I get. And somebody here, God is saying, oh, you're going to have to go through it. Yes, it's going to hurt. It's going to be pain. But you're going to come out on the other side. You may have to go through this sickness, through this bankruptcy, through it. But I'm so glad that God told me. Oh, and that's a songwriter said that God could be with me through it all. Through it all. Through it all. He said, stick with your gift, preacher. Oh, the God is saying, you've got to go through. And there's some other person here today. You're going to have to allow somebody to help you physically so that you can give them what they need spiritually. And I'm going to talk about that when Jesus started this conversation under point number one. Hello, somebody. But this morning, we're talking about the well water revival. And under point number one, a conversation. It says, and when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? First of all, you have to be careful that when you go out to do some of the mundane things in life, that little stuff that you do that seems to count like it doesn't count about anything, a simple walk, to get and to draw some water would lead her to her destiny when caused. And you've got to be careful, and be ready, to do the mundane things, because in doing those things, you can get in contact with God. Hello, and then maybe that's why Mama and them used to sing all the time when they did the housework. Maybe that's why back in the cotton field they used to sing all the time, because when they would come in contact with God in the minute things of life. Hello, somebody. Have you come in contact with God? And again, like I said before, a conversation. It's interesting what Jesus said in this conversation. He began the conversation letting someone meet his physical need so that he could meet her spiritual need. Hello, somebody says, and when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me drink? Jesus wasn't too proud to ask for help. Hello, somebody. Some of us Christians, we get too proud to ask for help, get too proud to go to the doctors, get too proud to allow someone to help us. But maybe it is in that moment of when you need help that God is leading you to a divine appointment to have a conversation with somebody that don't know him. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, are you ready to have a conversation? He was ready, and in this conversation he had the need. Don't be afraid to witness to those that are helping you. Don't be afraid to witness to the doctors. Don't be afraid to witness to those folk that help you, your boss and other people that can help you. Don't be afraid when you're going to get your needs met physically to transfer and flip the script and have a conversation about Jesus. Are you ready to have a conversation? A conversation. A conversation. In this minute moment, in this minute time, just simply going to get a drink of water. Just simply going. She met Jesus. and it happened many times in the Bible, in these little minute moments of where folk would go out to the well. In Genesis 24, verse 17, the text says, the servant hurried to help her or meet her and said, please give me a little drink of water from your jug. And that was Abraham's servant who went off to find a wife for Abraham's son. And the servant had prayed a little popcorn prayer and said, if this person is willing to help me, then maybe this person is the one for my servant or my master's son. And her willingness to help in the little minute things of life, her willingness to help would cause her to meet her destiny. Never underestimate the power of service. The greatest in the kingdom of God shall be a servant. Many people want titles, but they don't want the titles to serve God. God is calling us here to be a greater church, and he wants us to serve him greatly. And when we serve him in the little minute things, as we've been talking about, picking up the trash, that's a minute thing. We want you to pick up the trash. You don't leave the trash down at home. Then don't leave it down at your church. Pick up the trash. Take care of the little stuff that you do for Jesus. One thing that really impressed me was, I was walking one time, and Dr. E.K. Bailey, he's pastor of the Concord Missionary Baptist Church there in Dallas, Texas, and he was a pastor of a mega church, and he walked down the hall and saw a piece of trash, and guess what he did? He didn't call his deacons to come and pick it up. He picked it up himself. He was a big man willing to stoop low, and God uses those kinds of people. Are you willing to stoop low? Are you willing to serve God in the minute things of life? Are you willing to simply have a conversation about Christ? Many people, that's the hardest thing to do, but all you've got to do is to flip the script. And if you know the word, you can change the conversation from the physical need that you're trying to get met to a spiritual need. Jesus told her about a water in a well that she wouldn't have to draw from. It would lead to eternal life, this little conversation. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, are you ready to conversate about God? Don't you know that the greatest marketing on planet Earth is still word of mouth? Now, many of us, we have these fancy smartphones, and we can text, and we can update our status on Facebook, tweet, and do all this kind of stuff just from the phone. But the greatest, again, witness is word of mouth. Word of mouth. Word of mouth. Just have a conversation about Christ. Conversation. The same way you have a conversation about that place that you love to eat. There's a place that we took Sister Etan to for her birthday called Texas Day Brazil. Ooh, and it has some good food. Ooh, ooh, ooh. All kind of steaks and filet mignons they bring into. The preacher had to back away from the table. Cause I was on the verge of gutting there, preacher. but word of mouth, and now I spoke about it, and now you want to go. Hello, somebody. That's what you got to do about Jesus. Just have a conversation about it. You don't have to be an experienced preacher. You don't have to be Billy Graham. All you have to do is tell about your personal experience with him. And if you know him, guess what? You can witness. Hello, somebody. As a matter of fact, that's the first thing that most people do when they come to know Jesus, is witness for him. About the change that he made in my heart. I used to worry all the time. Now I have peace. peace. I have joy. Oh, that's a witness. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and things have changed. Things have changed. Jesus, I just had a conversation with this woman. Oh, and that conversation led to a convert. Can you conversate about Jesus today? Can the next time you're at the buffet, can you just talk to a stranger and say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good? I know there's some good food here at Fries and Furs. I know it's good food at Pumpkins and other places. But oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Flip the script and the conversation and talk about Him. We talk about everybody else. Oh, when we're in love, when we fall in love. Oh, we want to talk to that person all day and all night. I can remember, when we were, Sister Eton and I were dating, and we were talking, we tried to talk all night long. Some of you would do the same, talk all night long, fall asleep on the phone, wake up the next morning, still talking. Oh, because you wanted, you love that person that you wanted to have a conversation with. Why don't you talk about Jesus and all that He's done? He's still a miracle working God. He still delivers. He still set free. Oh, but the world won't know it until we start talking about Him. That's why it's always good to have new converts, because old converts, get a little stale. Hello, somebody. And we forget it, and we lose our influence, our sphere to reach people. We're old convert, but we've talked to everybody in our sphere of influence. But God is saying that you haven't talked to not everybody in your influence. Now it's time to cross over. Talk to them people that you hate. Talk to them people that you don't like. Talk to folk that you can't stand. That's your harvest sphere. Hello, somebody. Jesus talked in this conversation. He talked with, number one, a Samaritan. He overcame prejudice. Number two, he talked to a woman, and usually Jews wouldn't talk to women like that in public. Oh, he overcame all that to talk to her. He went to Samaria to talk to her. Some of you had to go through some places to have a little talk about Jesus. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh, neighbor, it's time for you to talk. We talk about everything else. We talk about our sports, our famous sports team. For you, most of you, it's the Sooners, the Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys, the Thunder. We talk about them and we know the score. But do you talk about God and know the score? Ooh, hello, somebody. God has never lost a game. Let me say that again. God has never lost you. God will never disappoint you because He lost. Hello, some of my favorite teams, like my team, the Dallas Cowboys. I can't talk about them now because they lost. Hello, somebody. They disappointed. Hello, somebody. I can always talk about God because God always have a perfect season. God always wins in the playoff. God always wins the Super Bowl. God is worthy for me to talk about, to say something about it to the people that I know and the people that I don't know. It's time for us, if we want to make Him know, it's time for us to have a conversation about Jesus. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, poor neighbor, if you don't speak up, who's going to speak up? Hello, somebody. Just a little conversation. I'm not telling you to preach to them. Jesus didn't preach to them. Jesus didn't try to shove the Bible. And like when I first got saved, boy, I used to beat folk over the head and want to force them to know God. No, you can't do that. All you got to do is have a conversation. And if they want to talk about God, that's an opening. And if they don't, keep it moving. Find somebody who will. Don't talk to them folk who are supposed to be saved and want to debate you about whether or not this principle or that principle is right. Don't waste your time talking to them. They already know too much. We're looking for folk who are open to hear about who God is. And those are our harvest field. Jesus came and said, hey, can you give me a drink of water? Oh, and she went out, oh, on this mundane tour and met God. In the same way this other woman went out and met her destiny in the mundane things of God. Now, we talk about the convert, that conversation led to a convert. It says in verse 28 of John chapter 4, it says, then leaving her water, just see, it wasn't by the water anyway. She came meeting a need, getting a need met, and had a conversation with Jesus, and guess what? And left that water jar behind. It's not about how you start the conversation. It's about how... Oh, you translate over to God and telling folks about who God is. And before you know it, that person that you were trying to let them meet your needs will drop what they're doing. And guess what? Then they will start having a conversation about God. That's a convert. Converts talk about God. Hello, somebody. And it says she dropped her water jar. The woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Come to this. Could this be the Messiah? Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Hello, somebody. And many times you're sitting in the sanctuary and you think, somebody been talking to me about you. You think I've been on the gossip line. You said that preacher's preaching my business. Oh, that's God speaking to me because he knows everything. In this text, he blew her mind. Oh, she came out. And Jesus told her about herself. Hello, somebody. She had five husbands. And one person she was with now, she was just living with shacking. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. She was a woman who had problems with trying to find true love like many of us in our day and time. And we jump from one person to the next, and the next person, and the next. She must have been a bad mamma jamma because she got five men to propose to her and got another to take care of her and live with her. She must have been a bad mamma jamma. But guess what? Hello, somebody. Her looks couldn't save her. Hello, somebody. Those men couldn't save her. The love that she was seeking is the love that I tell single Christians many times. You are out looking for the one going and wondering, is this the one? Oh, is she the one? Is he the one? I'd like to let you know that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've already found the one. And you don't have to go seeking and searching for anybody else. As long as you've got Jesus, you found the one. You're not single anyway, because the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. And the last thing I know is that when two people are together, that means that I am not alone. Somebody has been dying of loneliness. Somebody, and the devil makes you think that you are alone. No, you're not alone. You may be married. Some of the most lonely folk in the world, and most people don't tell you that, is married folk. Hello, somebody. Because we thought this person was going to meet all of our needs. And no one person can meet all of your needs. Hello. The only somebody that can meet all of your needs is the one that we need to get you talking about. And his name is Jesus. And he can meet all of your needs. He can meet your needs for love. He can meet your needs for company. He can meet your... Oh, if you know Jesus, you don't have to spend and waste your life looking for love in all the wrong places. She had been looking for love in all the wrong places and all the wrong people. Been with five men like Elizabeth Taylor. Oh, you know what Elizabeth Taylor said to all of her husbands? What did she say? She said, well, what many preachers say, I won't keep you long. Hello, somebody. One preacher said, these lovers of hers was like Kim Kardashian. Oh, it won't keep you long. Hello, somebody. But she was looking for love in all the wrong people, in all the wrong places. And but she had a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus spoke to her needs, the needs in her heart, the desires. And she had to go because her conversation with Jesus, she was converted and had to go and tell folk, come see a man who told me everything I did. Come see, could he be the Messiah? She was a convert, and she had to go back and tell the whole town about a man that told her about herself. Hello, somebody. Do you serve this same God? I believe that you do. Do you love this same God? I believe that you do. And there will be no converts, no revival, unless you're willing to have a conversation. Hello, somebody. This revival happened because this well water revival happened because Jesus was willing to have a conversation. And when he had a conversation, he had a convert. Oh, John 4:17, she hears what Jesus had busted out. She said, I have no husbands. She said, and Jesus said to her, you're right when you say that you have no husbands. In fact, you have had five husbands, and the man that you have now is not your husband. What you are, what you have just said, is quite true. You see, and that's another thing. You can never hide your business from God. Some church folk think that they can hide from God. And they can play this phony role, walk up in there acting like they're holy. And they're out there, hello somebody, with these five men, or living with somebody, hello somebody. God knows your business, and he wants you to get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and have a conversation. Get right, church, and when you have that conversation, you can have a convert. God, wants the world to know about him. Hello, somebody. That convert led to a company. Verse 39, it says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. That's another thing. Usually, normally, a person responds by someone of their own sex. But God used this woman. And from this woman, the well water revival took place. She used her influence as a woman. Hello, somebody. And that's what some of you have to do. You may have a mate that don't know him. Don't fuss and fight and argue. They'll never get to know him that way. You've got to use your womanliness. You have to be quiet and serve him and treat him like a king, or vice versa. You're supposed to love them so much that they want to come in contact with the God that you serve. Now, that's a real conversation. That's one of those, that the Old Testament meaning of conversation means lifestyle. You've got to have such a lifestyle. Hello, somebody. The ladies, the Bible said literally that if you can win a man, you're really supposed to be your husband to Christ without saying a word. By your quiet spirit. I hate to hear about Christian women that's supposed to be holy nagging their husbands. Hello, somebody. Why you don't go to church? Why you? You need to get up and church. You need to get right with God. You need to. And you're nagging it. And as far as they say, if that's your God, he causing you to act like this. Hello, somebody. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. Hello, somebody. But she used her womanliness to lead a town. It says, the woman told her testimony. Verse 40 says, and so when the Samaritans came to her, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And what? And because of his words, many more became believers. Just a conversation. Just from a conversation, we have a revival in this town. Those who are about to be baptized are going. Go back now. Ready for Sister Alexandria. A company from a conversation. A company of folk. How Jesus wanted to have a need met. A company from a conversation. Not from preaching. Save your preaching for the pulpit. Hello, somebody. Save your preaching. We want you to have and leave this place. If this is going to be truly a share the love Sunday, if this is going to be a year where we make him known, some of us are going to have a conversation with some folk that we may not like. Hello, somebody. For the Bible says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Hello, somebody. If we want to make him known, we've got to talk about him. We've got to conversate about him. We've got to go to places that we don't normally go to have a conversation. Let me say that again. We've got to go to places where we don't normally go to have a conversation. Instead of going around West Town, hello, somebody. You may need to go through West Town. Hello, somebody. Instead of avoiding those people that you avoid, maybe you've got to go and meet them and just have a little conversation about Jesus. A conversation, just to talk about, just to open your mouth and tell them what Jesus done for you. Her testimony was unique. She just said, come meet a man who told me about myself. That's all she said. And that was her testimony. That was her witness. Come see a man who told me about myself. And I said this, I think, from a Wednesday night, that we need to talk about Jesus so much that folk, when they come through those doors, should be literally looking up in the pulpit, literally looking for Jesus. Where is Jesus? Not looking for Pastor Eats, not looking for Pastor Four, not looking for any of us, but looking for Jesus. These folks talk about Jesus so much that it seems like that he's alive and well and here in the flesh. It seems like he preaches every Sunday. It seems like, that he walks with them and talks with them. And it seems like that they have a relationship, with this sheep. Not only should they be looking for Jesus in the pulpit, when they come to the church, you should talk about him so much, that they should go to your home and they walk through the front door and look for Jesus in the living room, sitting on the couch. Where is Jesus? Look for Jesus in the kitchen. Where is Jesus? We should talk about Jesus so much, that when we go to work and if we have an office, folks should walk in there looking to see Jesus. Is Jesus in here? Wherever you are, people should be looking for Jesus. We talk about him so much. We have a conversation about him so much. They know that he must be alive and well. Hello, somebody. He must be alive and well. They talk about him so much. They have a conversation about him so much. He must be alive and well. They talk about Jesus in the morning. Jesus at night. Jesus in the midday. Jesus all through the day. They talk about him so much because Jesus is alive. And you know what? Jesus is alive. I'm so glad that But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Deacons, will you come? Oh, every eye closed and heads bowed. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus is alive and he is well. I'm so glad that on that Friday, oh, when he went into his prayer closet, that he began to pray to the Father. Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he left that prayer closet and he would be crucified, mocked in scorn. Oh, he would be judged for crimes that he didn't commit. Oh, and they would put a crown of thorn on his head, whoop him and mock him and scorn him and beat him, put the cross on his back and led him through the streets of Jerusalem. I'm so glad that Jesus carried my cross. I'm so glad that Jesus took my beating. I'm so glad that he walked through that street, the streets of Jerusalem. He walked on to that hill called Golgotha. They nailed him to a cross. They raised him up between two thieves as if to say that he was a thief, that he was a robber. But they raised him up, but he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God, raised up to die for the sins of the world. I said, raised up to die for the sins of the world. They couldn't take his life. He had to give his life away. And when he gave his life away, oh, he died. They took him from that cross and they put him in a borrowed tomb. But I'm so glad that the Bible says that he raised again on the third day. I said he raised again on the third day, and he got up with all power in his hands. He got up with all power in his hands. Oh, and others witnessed him, and others witnessed him to see, to go up on the clouds to be with God, and today he is alive and well, seated on the right hand side of the Father, interceding on behalf of you and on behalf of me. I'm so glad that Jesus died for me. Are you glad that Jesus died for you? Are you glad that he was beaten for you, mocked for you, scorned for you? Are you glad this morning that he has all power in his hands? He has power to take care of every need that you have, every need that you have, every want that you want, every part of your body that needs to be made whole. He's alive. I tell you, church, he's alive. I tell you, church, and because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, oh, you can come to know him this morning. You can find him. If you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, slip out of your seat and say, I want to get to know Jesus. I want to come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. There may be somebody else here today. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you want to tell a testimony. Maybe you want to be baptized. Whatever your decision is right now, we want you to come before the church right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All eyes closed, heads are bowed, saints are praying. Amen. Thank you, sister. Is there another? Well, water revival. It can start when you leave this place and you go and you have a conversation about Jesus. One person could have a conversation and revival can hit this place in Jesus' name. Is there another? Is there another? As music plays, slip out of your seat.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. Before we sign off, We just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet Him on His terms, and His terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Falls Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby. Thank you for and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how He's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God. And I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more, whatever God is laying on your heart. We need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com.